Good morning, everyone. Are you ready to worship the Lord this day after celebrating the birth of our country? Why don't you stand with us?
Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen. 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 I love that part that says, let our faith be unaffected by the chaos. How many would say our world's in chaos? Uncertainty, lacking of answers, and without Jesus, lacking in hope. How many of you in the last week or two, or maybe the last months, have run into people who you thought, beyond all that they're talking about, really what they're struggling with is a lack of hope? They just don't have an answer. They don't have any hope that it's ever going to get any better. And yet, the word of the Lord declares to us that it will get better. that victory is certain when we place our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ. And so I love that our faith is unaffected by the chaos. Can that be our prayer this morning? That we're unaffected by the chaos of the enemy and the world and all around us. That even though we live in this world, that we will not be of this world, but we'll be of a mindset that comes from the one above. And so would you go to prayer this morning with me? Lord, we ask right now that our faith in you would be strong enough that no matter what happens around us, no matter what we encounter, no matter what we feel, no matter what we hear, no matter what we experience, Lord, that we would be unaffected by the chaos, because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And so we stand upon the promises of your word, Lord, that you said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You said that you would protect us. You said that you would love us. You said that you would provide for us. That, Lord, one day your word says you're coming for us. And so we will not be affected by the temporal things of this world, but we will take upon the eternal mindset of what your word and the gospel has challenged us to. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord this morning for just a few moments. Want to challenge you, first of all, if you're here and you're visiting with us, we want to say thanks. Thanks for coming and being a part of service today. Maybe you're watching online today. We want to say thanks for joining in and tuning in today. But if you're here in this place, in the seat back in front of you is a visitor's card. We'd ask you to take that card and fill it out. And when we receive tithe and offering a little while later, if you'll place that in the bag, that just gives us a record of your attendance and lets us know that you came to be a part of us today. And we'd love just to know that, be able to greet you in that way. And so I got some announcements for you this morning. In case you didn't know, we're leaving for youth camp today. Yes. How many of you ever, you're about to do something and then something else happens and you think that's not a good sign for what's about to happen? This morning I was sitting in my office and I was yawning and I thought, that is not a good sign. That is not a good way to start off launching out to youth camp. I'd ask that you just pray for all of our young people and adults. We've got about almost 35 of us going to youth camp and leaving this afternoon. Would you just be praying this week? We'll leave today. We'll be back actually Wednesday. I'm going to stay Wednesday and run all the, be a part of the executive staff for Camp 2, which is from Wednesday to Saturday. So I got a little 7-day stretch here. And don't worry, though. I packed enough underwear. We're good. So come on, people. Smile today. And so I want you to pray that the Lord would just begin to speak to us and we'd have a wonderful time. Can you do that with me? Can you do that? So I want to give a little instruction for those of you that are parents or you're the teens that are going with us or you're the adults that have signed up. It's too late. You can't go back. You have to go with me now. So right after service, you can grab your luggage and all that and take it to the youth room and where we will be providing pizza and drinks and stuff to eat for lunch because we don't want you running off. We want you to stay right here. We're going to set up the registration table just as quick as we can and we'll get all the paperwork and everything. If you're a parent, please don't run off unless you've checked in with us and make sure we have everything we need from you. And then our plan is to load that bus up and be driving out of here at 1:30. And you think 1:30 is, you know, a little ways, but we have a lot to get done between the end of service and 1:30. So make sure, parents, you don't leave without checking in with us, and we're going to have a great time. And then a week from Monday, a week from tomorrow, we leave for Denver on our missions trip. And yes, we have a team of 18. Amen. Amen. We have a team of 18 of us going to serve at the Denver Dream Center, and they are super excited that we are coming, and we're going to be doing many kind of crusades and many outreach throughout different communities. We'll begin doing what's called a mobile clothing closet. We're going to be doing some service projects. And so we have a full week packed from the 13th through the 19th. And so want to just challenge you to also be praying for that. A lot of great ministry going to be happening through our youth department, in our youth department, in the next couple of weeks. And including ministry, Pastor, check this out. On Wednesday night, this Wednesday night, because we're coming back from youth camp Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday night, we'll be telling about camp and Wednesday service. And, Pastor, this is going to speak to you, having the world's biggest ice cream sundae. And so, yes, yes. How many of you know the Lord moves through ice cream? Yes, yes, yes. And if you're lactose intolerant, ice cream moves through you too. So, a lot of moving happening. But yes, so Wednesday night, young people, you don't want to miss it. We're going to have the world's biggest ice cream sundae, and so that's going to be awesome too. We have lots going on. Wednesday nights, adults, you don't want to miss either, okay? Pastor they're having wonderful prayer meetings in here. They start prayer at 6:30. The main service starts at 7. We also have kids ministry, Rangers and girls ministry over there. And so make sure you bring the whole family out on Wednesday nights starting at 7 o'clock, unless you want to do the 6:30 prayer time in here. And so make sure you get there for that. And so lots of great stuff happening. And let me just say, I'm a day late, but happy 4th of July. How many of you shot fireworks? Anybody shoot fireworks? How many of you right now just want to testify, maybe a little moment here, you're happy that you have all your fingers? Come on, come on, there you go. We had a, yes, yeah, yes. Don Caldwell got shot with a mortar last night. Anybody know what a mortar is? A mortar is the one that goes way up in the air and supposed to watch us because it's hundreds of feet in the air. Instead, it hit him in the stomach. So, yeah, yeah. We were this close to me on the piano. The Lord is good. Yeah. Let me ask the ushers to come as we give of the tithe and offering this morning. Yeah, amen, amen, amen. Jeremy, I don't know if they're clapping for the tithe and offering, or that was delayed because some of them just hit that I was going to be on the piano. Yeah. Right now we have David Helms. He's going to come and share in special music. And how many of you know it's just great to be a part of the kingdom of God? Amen? Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you right now for all that we're going to give. We thank you, Lord, all that you're going to multiply it. And we thank you, Lord, for lives that are going to be changed, that are going to be saved. We pray, Lord, for our young people who are going to be going to camp. We pray for those going on the missions trip. And we pray, Lord, for all the ministry that happens in and through Noble Assembly of God. Bless the finances, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, lurked for all my life, and I had to start again with my children and my wife, I thank my God above to be living here today, 'cause this flag still stands for freedom and it can't take that away. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget men who died to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, an
Lord.
Well, why don't you stand with us once again as we go back and worship? Well, this week, I don't know how many of you talk to God when you're doing stuff around the house. I was doing laundry. That's what I do a lot. If they're looking for me, I'm usually in the laundry. And I was just thinking about the fact that we had July 4th, was coming up on Saturday, and praying about all the things that are happening in our nation. And I just said, God, we need to move. We need to move. And this song, Kelly sang it right before the... We stopped having church. We had to stay at home because of the virus. But we need a move in our nation. And we as Christians need to stand up and start that move. Because without us standing up, this nation will not be the nation that we see today. So we need to start praying. It needs to be something that we do every day for a nation. That God will move upon each and every one of us to be willing to stand up and fight for what our founding fathers created here. Now, it may not have been perfect, but we have to learn from the experiences that we've seen that have happened in the past to ensure that we don't do it in the future.
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. In God we believe. Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. And bodies are still being raised. And giants are still being slain. In God we believe. Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do. Happen when you move.
Lord, we just come to you this morning. The hearts are heavy for our nation. We just call upon you, Father, to bring a move, to break the strongholds that are in this nation, that Satan has bound us up and has brought hate and discontent. Father, we know that you can move upon us, that you can bring your love to this nation once again. For you said that we should love one another. Lord, help the hates to go away and that your love just flood on this nation. Break the strongholds, the scales on our eyes where we don't see what's truly happening. Our ears are plugged and we can't hear right from wrong. Lord, help us to discern the right from wrong, to know what you are telling us to do, what you're calling your people to do, to rise up, Father, Lord, to rise up, to break the strongholds in this nation, Lord. We just need you right now. We need you more than ever before. Lord, just pour your spirit upon your people to help us to rise up, to rise up, to rise up, to just to glorify your name and not be afraid, to be strong and courageous, to fight the battle that you placed in front of us, Jesus. We just believe in the power of your name, that in all things, in your name, we can do it, Lord. And we just praise you for that. And we glorify you, Lord.
For there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Do you believe it?
For there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain.
We're going to break chains today, Father, Lord. We just glorify you.
All sufficient sacrifice, so free. For there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain.
There's power in the name. There's power in the name of Jesus. And there's an army rising up. And there's an army rising up.
every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
2 Chronicles 7:14, Pastor mentioned it last Sunday, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their land. That is what we need, to humble ourselves, to ask for forgiveness for this nation. And that he will hear us and he'll heal us, our land, and bring us back to the country that we need to be.
Thank you. Father, we do pray that you would show us wisdom, that you would show us the way. We pray for healing in our land. On this weekend of our nation's independence celebration, we pray, Father God, that you would just move across this nation powerfully. Lord Jesus, bring help, healing, wisdom, and hope to our nation again. Lord, and touch your church, we pray. Empower us, Father God, with the power of the Holy Spirit to help us make a difference, to help us to be the salt and to be the light that you've called us to be, that we might see a great move, as we have sang about this morning, a move of God across our nation again. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, God. We ask, God, that you would be with our youth camp this week. I pray that you would touch our young people, not just from our church, but from every church. We pray for a move of your Holy Spirit to sweep across the camp and for lives to be touched and changed and for teenagers to come back on fire, passionate for your word and for your kingdom. We just love you, Lord, today. Meet every need in this place, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. It's so good to see all of you here this morning. We are so delighted to have Steve and Kimberly Snow with us. And they have three daughters. Their youngest daughter is here today. And we are happy to have them. We have been supporting them now as a church for, I would say, at least 4 or 5 years. It may be longer. I really don't remember when we started supporting them, but I know the girls were a lot younger, a lot smaller, and they have been serving in Chile the last several years, and so we are happy to have them here today. Would you help me welcome the Snow family today?
Well, thank you for having us, and I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness in supporting missionaries and supporting missions all across the world, because we cannot do what we do without your prayers and without your support. And right now, this is just uncertain times for everyone, and we are so thankful for the churches all across Oklahoma who have been so faithful in their support and in their missions giving. So thank you, and may God richly bless you. And yes, you guys have been part of our team for several years now, and we greatly appreciate that. And in the days gone by when my girls were little stair steps and we would come, they would willingly get up front and do a little song and dance, but Kaitlyn just didn't want to do that this morning, but that's okay. And our girls have grown over the years, and our family has changed, and that's a little bit hard on this mama, but we're surviving the adjustments. Our oldest daughter, Kylie, you see her in the picture there on your left, my right, she is 21. She has been attending SAGU in Waxahachie, Texas now for the last several years, and she is starting her fourth year. And so she's almost converted to a Texan. I don't know if I like that very much. But she is faithfully serving the Lord there and working on campus and paying her own way through college. And the Lord is blessing her. And she has a heart for missions. She plans to be a teacher. So she loves early elementary education. She loves the little kids. And we're thankful for what the Lord is doing in her life and how he is directing her. Our second daughter, Carly, is the one in the blue there in the middle. She is the short one in the family, so we tease her a lot for being short. And she just always tells us, but I'm average height. She's currently in Arkansas working at a summer camp called Camp War Eagle. They had a lot of regulations and things they had to go through in order for the camp to continue, but she is working there this summer. But she just finished her first year at John Brown University, where she is majoring in nursing, and then she also has decided to major in Spanish, because language is her thing. She likes languages. She picked up the language when we were in the Philippines. Spanish came so easy for her. She speaks just like a Chilean. And then she has also studied Mandarin because she feels the Lord has called her to China. And so anyway, she felt like the Lord is wanting her to major in Spanish because they don't have a Mandarin major. So she's going to major in Spanish, and I believe the Lord will use that in her future. And then our youngest daughter, Kately, is with us, and she is 17, just turned 17, and she's the tall one out of all the girls. And I am thankful that she is still home with her mama. And I'm also thankful for the heart that the Lord has given each of my girls for ministry and to serve Him and to follow Him. And Kately is just such a joy to have, and she helps her mama a lot, and I'm thankful for her. So our girls and our family has changed over the years, but you know, our God remains faithful, and He always cares for us, and He always provides for us. Being in missions is not always easy. As a matter of fact, there's more hard times than there are good times. But through it all, I've seen the Lord be faithful to us. And here in America, we are blessed. And I have been seeing things happen here in the good old U.S. of A. that I thought I would never see happen. It's things that I expect overseas, but certainly not things that I would see here in the U.S. of A. And so our nation needs prayer. But I also ask you to please pray for the country of Chile. Chile was actually on the higher end of the spectrum when it came to financial status in Latin America. But over the last several months, the pandemic is taking its toll. And they are now entering their fourth month of quarantine. And that also means people not being able to work and provide for their families. And unemployment works a lot different there than it does here. The people only receive a percentage of what their income was for their unemployment status for the first month. And each month after that, it decreases until the fourth month. And by the fourth month, you receive nothing. So we are looking at Chile plummeting to the bottom of the financial status there in Latin America, and we are seeing, like, in the same categories like Venezuela. So we are seeing a lot of devastation, and we're looking at a lot of poverty. So we need the Lord to move. I was reading on a Facebook stream this morning. Someone was asking there in one of the groups in Chile, how much longer is this going to happen? When are they going to lift quarantine? And someone even made mention that they had heard until September. So we need to pray, because they cannot even leave their house without a slip of paper and an appointment saying they're going to the grocery store or they're going to the doctor or whatever. And they're only allowed to leave their house twice a week. So this country needs God to move. We need God to intervene there. There's been several of our close Chilean friends that are like family to us who have contracted the coronavirus. And so we need the Lord to move in those communities and to bring healing to that nation and a spiritual awakening as well. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for having us. And we just pray that the Lord blesses you in all that you do.
We are the Snow family working in Santiago, Chile. Santiago, Chile has a population of 7 million people. with 20% under the age of 15. This is why we're here building a new children's ministry center. This children's ministry center will not only serve as a church, we are building a school to serve the needs of the children of this community.
Hi, my name is Gillian, and I'm a member of this church and also a volunteer here. Once the ministry center is complete, I'm looking forward to work with the deaf kids from this community. I'm so grateful for this ministry center because they teach kids about Jesus and the Bible.
Hola, mi nombre es Daniel Rojas. Yo soy pastor acá en el Centro de Ministerios MAI. Bueno, este ministerio, el Centro de Ministerios MAI, es un sueño para nosotros porque Dios nos llamó a este lugar, a la comuna de Maipú, para alcanzar no solamente a los niños, sino también a su familia. Y la construcción de este lugar ha sido un desafío por muchos años, pero también hemos visto la mano del Señor actuando en todo sentido. Muchas gracias por todo su apoyo, sus oraciones, su ayuda económica, los equipos que confiamos en el Señor que van a venir. Y de todo corazón, muchas gracias y que el Señor les bendiga.
It's been so exciting to see the progression that has been made on this Children's Ministry Center since we've been here in Santiago, Chile, and to actually be able to use the building for what God has intended for us to use it for. And we are looking forward to the completion of the school and seeing it full of children and reaching their families for Jesus Christ. We want to thank you so much for your part in this ministry. None of this is possible without your prayer and without your support. If you are interested in giving to our ministry financially, you can go to give.agwm.org and enter our account number, which is 272081. And thank you. We cannot do this without your prayers.
Thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity to share with you and your church. That's what we are doing there the last 4 years while we were in Chile, is helping build a children's ministry center. You only seen part of it. That was only phase one of three of what you were seeing. And we are in, there's, as I said, three phases. That first phase is three stories. It's a locker rooms, bathrooms, a kitchen, cafeteria, and a multi-purpose room. We go to the next, go to the slide and show you a picture of it, what it looked like. 4 years ago there on the left, whenever I stood on the property, and they said, we want to see a roof on it in a year. I said, it's not happening. I have construction background skills, and I've been in construction, and I know things don't always go as planned here in the U.S., much less when you're overseas, and things don't always happen. And as you plan on them doing, but we had a team, about 16 teams come 1 year, and we got a roof on that in just shortly over a year. And so we go to the next, as you see, it's three stories. This is still the first phase. There's the locker rooms and bathrooms. We still need to put sheetrock and all the plumbing and everything in that. The next slide will show the kitchen and cafeteria. That is up and running. We're able to feed the teams. Yes, we feed the teams good when you come. And I say when you come because I, by faith, I believe we are going to have a team come to Chile from Noble Assembly. Right? Okay. We are still, even though this pandemic is happening and we cannot have teams right now, but we are expecting, or I'm expecting it to be another 4 to 5 years of building. You can put it on your calendar for 2021, 2022, 2023. You just go out as far as you want. And then the next slide is the multi-purpose room. There on the left is where it was rough, where we had our first service a couple years ago. And then on the right-hand side, I had to finish leveling it out. The room is around 45 feet by 45. It's not quite square, just but pretty close. And there's around from 1 inch to 8 inches difference in concrete that I had to level out. And so some places I was scraping that rough concrete, and other places we was pouring 6 to 8 inches of concrete. And so, and just doing it sections at a time by a mixer and everything. And so a lot of work, and I'm not a concrete finisher, but I was elected as the job, as the manager of that.
And so we go to the next slide. This is phase two. This is where a previous building was standing where we were having our meetings. But this is where an elementary school building will be going for 450 children. And a team from Fairland, Oklahoma, came this past October. We arrived in the States last July, so we've been home for a year right now. And we're supposed to be back there now, but due to the funds not coming in and due to the virus, it's thrown us about 4 to maybe 6 months behind. So we're looking at the end of the year or the first part of the next year before we're even able to go back. Team came, so I went back in October with a team from Oklahoma with special permission. We tore down this building to start the second phase. Footings are in. They've done some digging. There's other concrete, and we're getting ready to start on the building the school. The next and the third phase is a parking garage that's 20 for 20 vehicles and a soccer field on top of it. And so if you notice in the first phase, the first building is built back into the hillside because there's about 40 feet difference between streets. We own the whole from street to street and just a narrow piece of property. And so that's what we're looking at there. And so it's a huge project. Now, we have partnered with the other missionaries there that started this. They bought this piece of property back in 2006. The ministry's been going on for 25 plus years. And so how they came across, before they bought this piece of property, they had to rent or lease yearly, and that's not cheap. Everything in Chile is about twice, if not three times the price of what you pay for it here. Gas is around $6 a gallon, and the list can go on. As I said, renting, you're going to pay for a piece of property where they were ministering to 300, busing in about 300 kids every week to minister to. I'm not sure what the exact price, but my guess is they're paying around $2,000 a month in rent. And in order to do that, you have to pay up $2,000. That's supposed to be reimbursed to you when the lease is done or the owner decides that they're no longer going to lease it to you. But 99.9% of the time, you never see that money again. And so they said, we need something to invest in. And they found this piece of property, gave the owner a call, and called him, set a time to meet. And the owner says, truthfully, he said, what are your plans for this piece of property? And they said, we wanted to build a school, be a children's ministry center to minister to the children in this community. He says, well, I already have a buyer, and we're about to sign the papers and finish it off. He says, but I really like your plans for this piece of property. The guy that I'm about to sell it to is wanting to make it a man's club, and I really rather have a school building here. And so they talked for a little bit longer and discussed the price, and the price was around $370,000 US, what it converted to the exchange rate. And so it says, how much money can you put down to secure that I would sell it to you? And they said, nothing. Missionaries live by faith, and we're just believing that God will provide. And he said, okay. And he says, I'll tell you what, I do want you to have this. He says, I'll start renting it to you today for $500 a month, which is cheap, for the next 6 months. And if you have the money within 6 months, then it's yours. I'll sell it to you. But he sweetened the deal a little bit more, and he says, I'll give it to you for half the price. And they said, we'll have the money. And at the end of the conversation, he says, we'll see what your God can do. And so God came through. And so everything that you've seen is paid for. The property's paid for. It's debt-free. We're building as we go. And so it's amazing what God has done over the years. And even though it seems like it's been slow, 16 or 14 years in building, there's been earthquakes that have put it on hold. And when I say an earthquake, I'm talking about 8.0, 9.0s and stuff. Anything below a 7 is just a tremor. They're used to those all the time. And so we've faced a few of those, been through a few of those tremors, and we've had some earthquakes, a little over 7.0s, 8. I think our biggest while we've been there 4 years, about a 7.6 or 7.8 that we felt. And so it shook the house a little bit. And so we just need your prayers, and they're fun to go through in a way. So they say if you see a Chilean leaving the house or seeking cover, you better be right behind them. And so that's it. And this building has withstood that 8.5 earthquake or something that happened back in 2010. And so it's built to survive a 10.0. And it's not when one will come, it's not if one will come, it's when one will come. And we want to build it safe for the children. We go to the next slide. It's just some financial prayer and financial needs I want to present to you to join with us in prayer. Thank you for your prayers over the years. We cannot do it without your prayers. And I encourage you to pick up a prayer card out in the foyer. Pray for us. We are needing new and monthly commitments. We're about 85% raised right now. And then cash offerings and then construction projects. If you'd like to give to the construction, you can get with me. And we still have a lot to do. We have an elevator shaft to put in. We have still thousands of dollars to raise for that. And so if you'd like to give to the construction project, you can see me afterwards, give you information about that. And if you would like to come to Chilling, I give you information about that and put a team together. We would love to have you. So just some things to pray with us about and pray with that we can get back to Chile, that the doors will open. As my wife says, it's going through a rough time. Before the virus hit, there's actually in October's when I went back with the team, and right after I came back stateside and the team were back stateside, they started rioting and burning metros and buses and looting and everything else. And so and destroying their metro systems. And I rode on those metro systems daily whenever I would go to work, an hour and a half one way from my home. It took me about by bus, walking, metro, and they were destroying their metro system and everything. And so it's in an uproar in itself before this virus hit. And so just pray with that they will get back and open up to where we can get, and this virus has put a halt on the construction as well because we can't get materials and stuff in, and nobody can be working, even though they do have some essential workers and stuff, but it's hard to get the materials in. We do have like 5 Chilean workers working full-time on the property, but when a team comes, things go a whole lot quicker. I'm amazed at where we are at today versus 5 years ago whenever I first seen it. So have any questions, you can talk with us after, and love to visit with you. Now, if we go to Life on Mission, I just want to speak to you just a few moments. And this is actually the title of a book another pastor recommended for me to read. And as you read through it, there's questions throughout each chapter and everything that challenge you. And a lot of it was U.S. missions, and it referred to being missionaries here stateside. And, you know, that's one thing. Whenever I grew up in the assemblies, and every time I heard about a missionary, it's usually somebody from overseas and a foreign missionary. But a missionary is not someone that goes overseas. It's each and every Christian. You are a missionary. You are spreading the gospel of Christ. And that's what it is about, doing something for the kingdom of God. We are all of our lives is to be on a mission for God. Our life is on a mission, and it's on a mission for Him. And so one of the quotes from the book says, "Do you believe God is calling you to be on mission with Him?" First of all, we got to settle that question within our hearts. Do you personally, do each one of you believe, whether you're here in the auditorium or online, do you believe that God has called you to be on mission for Him? He has a purpose for each one of us as a Christian. Our answer should be yes to this question, because once you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has placed that call in your life to spread the gospel. What is that mission for each one of us? Well, first and foremost, it's to win lost souls and to let others know what he has done for us and to share the testimonies. But a lot of times, and I find myself guilty at times myself that, oh, until we face hard times, that why are we saved? And we become to the point where we think that we're saved just so we can make it to heaven. But we're not saved just so we can make it to heaven. We're saved because God has a mission for you. We're saved so that we can spread the gospel to this lost and hurting world. The mission will look different for each person because God has made us all different. We're not all the same. We can't all do the same job. We don't all have the same talents and skills. So God uses us in different ways. Some could be doing children's ministry, youth ministry, visiting the elderly, visiting those sick in the hospital. You can fill in the blank, but each one of us has a mission that God has called for us to do. It's not always being up in front of people. It's sometimes just being behind the scenes and being a prayer warrior, loving other people, loving on the kids, hugging them, caring for them, taking someone groceries. It can be just something simple. But yet, we are all on a mission for God. And there are many ways that God uses people in order to reach the world. We just have to have the opening heart to be sensitive to his voice, to lead us and guide us what he wants us to do. When God called me into the ministry, I tried to offer him every excuse that I knew. I grew up in Arkansas. I'm not a pastor's kid. I'm not come from a line of history of pastors or anything like that. And I told God, God, I'm not one to be in public speaking. I'm not one to be in front of crowds. And I offered him Moses' excuses and every other person in the Bible, the excuses. No, the Bible's full of people offering God excuses. They couldn't fulfill the mission they called them to do. But he didn't accept my excuses just like he didn't accept theirs. As you can see, I'm here before you today. And it's not about our abilities of what. Why is that? I believe God doesn't choose those that think they can do everything. Because if we think we can do everything, we think that it's because of our abilities why God chose us. Who gets the glory? Man does. God seems to find those that just want to fulfill the mission for him and say, God, it's not about me. And it's all about you. You may start out that way sometimes, and I've heard of people start out like, I don't have any talents, I'm not able to do anything. But we must continually keep ourselves humble before God and say, God, it's never about me. Us building this children's ministry center, it's not about me and what my construction skills and what I can do. It's all about the kingdom of God. It's all about working for him. The book makes the statement that says, no Christ follower is exempt from using the gifts God has given him for building his kingdom. I believe all of us have been, every person born has a natural gift. God has given each one of us a natural gift. Some, it could be singing. Some, it could be preaching and teaching. A Sunday school teacher, construction, being hospitable. Some, just being a listening ear. The world needs a listening ear to listen and to know that you are there to pray for them. Some, it could be concrete workers, mentoring others. We need, this younger generation needs some godly mentors teaching them and showing them the word of God and the way to walk. As a Christian, we have no reason why we cannot use our gifts for God. He has given you the gifts for you to use for his glory and to reach those who don't know Christ. God trained me in construction before we even became missionaries. And since we've been on the field in the Philippines and in Chile in the past 4 years and doing the Children's Ministry Center, I started laying brick and I'd never laid a brick before. Finishing concrete, I've seen it done, but I've never really been the one in charge to do it. And so sometimes this is what I call on-the-job training. You know, God gives us on-the-job training. No matter how long you've served God, you haven't done everything. You don't know how to do everything perfectly all the time. He gives you on-the-job training. And he's taught me how to lead teams and finish concrete. You just got to be open to what God has in store. If God is giving you on-the-job training, just be open and don't have the attitude, well, I cannot do that because it don't come natural to me. You got to be willing to step out of your comfort zone and say, God, whatever it takes to be on the mission for you, whether I feel comfortable about it or not, I'm going to do it. And the amazing thing is when you look back, you'll see it's not about you. And you wasn't able to do it because of your natural abilities, but God gave you wisdom through those times, and you were able to do it because of, with his help. Being a Christian and fulfilling the mission God has, the mission of God, you must every day depend on him. And no, I'm not telling a lot of you anything new, but we need reminded sometimes, I need reminded sometimes, that we got to depend on him every day to lead us and to guide us. What he would have us to do, to allow God to speak to our hearts and let him mold and shape our lives. The book makes this statement. It says, it's holding our lives up as clay to be molded and shaped by God, and his truth is a real mark of maturity. We as Christians will never reach the place growing in God where we have reached that final maturity level where we cannot know anymore or grow anymore in him. We must continually have our lives molded and shaped in his hands. My question is, are we staying, am I staying as pliable clay in God's hands? Or have you become a hardened clay pot that can be shattered when the changes of the life or whenever things, trials come? Sometimes we can cover things up and we can make people think, and it looks good on the outside, we're doing good. God's shaping us, God's molding us, but we're becoming dry and we're becoming cracked on the inside. We need to let God continually just stretch us, mold us, shape us in whatever he would have us become, because we're not going to reach our full potential on this earth. No matter how old or how long we've served God, there's always more that he has for us. There are times where we must step out of our comfort zone for God to use us to what he has for us in our mission. Our lives with Christ are constantly being stretched for the kingdom of God. And if it's not being stretched, then what are we doing with our lives? If the church is not being stretched, I believe the church is being stretched throughout this time of this epidemic. If we're not being stretched, then what are we doing? We're not reaching out to more than what we used to, then what are we doing? We're becoming comfortable. We're starting to become dry, a dry clay pot that's going to break and shatter. But we as individual and we as a church, we as missionaries, we as a Christian group, we got to continually be pliable in the hands of God. The book also says we can bring people into a building, but we cannot bring them into the family. Only the Holy Spirit does that. We can fill up the church buildings. We can fill up the parking lots. We can fill up and have all the activities and everything to bring in the crowd, but we can't save them. But it is our job to minister to them, to love them, to build relationships with them, and let the Holy Spirit do its work. As foreign missionaries, fulfilling the mission that God has placed us on, speaking as me and my family. And if God has called you on the mission, or foreign missions, or even home missions, whatever, we need to do all we can in spreading the gospel. You heard on the video that Santiago has a population of 7 million people, and it's continually growing, and there's 20% under the age of 15. You do the math, that's around 1.5 million children in the capital alone in Chile. that are underneath the age of 15. The population in the community in which we are building this children's ministry center, which is in the southern part of Santiago, is over 500,000 people. So that means there's over 100,000 children that are needing the gospel of Christ. Chile is a very liberal country. And they're teaching the 3- and 4-year-olds in daycare they can choose what gender they want to be. We know that 3- and 4-year-olds don't have that capability to nobody can really choose that. Marriages, same-sex marriages, has been approved years ago, and they're proud of it. And that's what they're teaching in their schools. This children's ministry center will not be funded by the government, because if you do, then you have to teach their stuff. So that's the reason this children's ministry center is important to be finished, so we can rescue the children in the community. Start teaching them not only the basic subjects, but while we're teaching them the subjects, that we can plant the word of God into their lives and give them scriptures and to memorize and to say, this is the way and this is the only way. As I may mention, the school is only for 450 elementary children, so it's our responsibility to instill the word of God into their life, to make a place to where they can come and hear the gospel and let the Holy Spirit be the one to bring them to repentance and into the family of God. And that's the way it is here in your community. It's just do your part and let the Holy Spirit bring them in. We as Christians, we have a huge task in front of us. God has a plan and a mission he has called each one of us to do. The question is, the big question is, are you willing? Am I willing every day to answer this question and say, are you willing to be clay in God's hands and to be stretched in your spiritual walk with God? And if so, he will take you places you never dreamed of. And he will give you gifts needed to fulfill the mission he has placed you on. Because 5 years ago, he didn't tell me what I would be doing 5 years down the road. And he hasn't told me today what I'll be doing a year down the road. There'll be new challenges. There'll be new things come about. But we got to be willing to be stretched and be pliable in his hands. Now, if we go to the next slide, you will see a sign that Santiago is actually right there in the middle of Chile. It's a rather long country. An hour and a half or 2 hours we can be. If you go east or west, you can be in the ocean at one way and the mountains to the east. But the length of it, if you go down to the very bottom, you'll see signs saying this is the end of the world. This is a route to the end of the world. There's no other living human being. There's no other place to live than at the end of Chile. Punta Arenas has a sign saying, the city at the end of the world. Whenever you hear that, I think most time our minds go to Acts 1:8, Matthew, God, Jesus' commandment. But in Acts 13:47, it says, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And so, earlier, I made the quote from the book that no Christian is exempt from spreading the gospel. That's a man-written book that challenges the Christians to get out of our comfort zone. But the word of God, it's not an option. You can read a book and you can take it or leave it, but when you pick up the word of God and you pick up the scriptures, this is a commandment. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. What's that command? To be a light. To be a light to the world. Where? To the ends of the earth. Say, well, Brother Stephen, I'm not going to be able to go physically to Chile. I cannot actually go and help build the Children's Ministry Center. so I cannot really go to the ends of the earth. Well, you can. You say, well, how? By prayer. The missionaries you prayed for, that you pray for, you're going all over the world because you are helping them stay there. Prayer is what keeps us there majority of the time. The finances can be there. It may look like we're doing good on finances, and we may have more than 100% raised in cash in monthly. And we may not have to worry about finances. But that's not where the enemy comes in at. Because where the enemy comes in at, finances can't take care of. It's prayer. And so we covet your prayers and thank you for your prayers. And it's by giving. And so, thank you. You are going to the ends of the world. You are reaching places and you are ministering to kids and adults all over because of your faithfulness. So don't be discouraged because you can't go to the ends of the world physically. But you can go there. And we appreciate it. And you are fulfilling the commandment of God. But my biggest challenge to you this morning is just be pliable in the hands of God. Don't become stagnant in your walk with God to where you say, I've been in ministry for so many years and there's nothing more I can do. It's time to let the younger generation, you can mentor them. You can pray for them. God's not done with you until he's called us home. And so that no matter how young or how old you are, and so you have a part and you can still fulfill the mission that God has called you to do. Now, we have seasons in our life and they change. We're not comfortable to change, but as long as we're on his mission and fulfilling what he's called and being pliable in his hands and being able to be stretched, he will use you in ways that you never thought. And so thank you, Pastor. May God bless you. It's been a joy being here with you this morning.
Yeah. Love your heart. Thank you, Stephen. Don't you just love their heart? Praise God. Praise God. As always, we want to receive an offering for our guests this morning, for the missionary work that they're doing in I always say Chile, but I guess it's Chile. Chile. Get the pronunciation right on the I and the E. Chile. Chile. Anyway, thank you, Steve and Kim and what is it? Kaitlee. Steve and Kim and Kaitlee for being here today. As I was sitting there, I had in mind what I was going to give, and the Lord just said, I want you to double that. So I scratched out that and doubled it. So maybe the Lord spoke that to you too. But if you're giving, put it on an envelope, put on there snow. Isn't that a nice thing to think about in July is snow? So make the check. If you're making a check out, make it out to Noble Assembly of God. But put on the offering envelope snow, and that way we will know that they will receive that. And all that is given today will go to them. So as we prepare for this missions offering today, I want us to also pray for the Snow family that the Lord will watch over them, protect them, bless them, provide for them. And I thank the Lord that he's called them. It's just a wonderful testimony that the Lord can use and will use anybody that says, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. You know, and he will equip us to do that. And so, Father, we come to you today and we thank you for their family today. We thank you for the Snow family. We just pray that you would bless them. We pray that you would just provide for them. And thank you, Lord, that we can stand with them in going to Chile, Lord, that they can go and we can be a part of sending them with our finances and with our prayers. And Lord, we just thank you for the message this morning and for the report of what's happening there, where our monthly missions dollars go. We thank you, Lord. We're able to support them $100 a month. And Lord, we've been doing that for several years, and we pray that we continue to do that. And Lord, I just pray that we would even increase that. And so, Lord, bless them today and bless this offering, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that old song that Don started playing there. Would you stand with me as we close today? Sing that old song with me. I don't know, many of you may not know it, but it goes right along with the message that all of us are missionaries. If you're a born-again believer today, you are a missionary to the world you live in. But this song goes like this. Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. Even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Surely there's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble, and though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Let Stephen and Kim and their family get to the foyer. You may want to stop by there on your way out and speak to them. And I'd kind of like to have a missions trip to Chile in coming years. We may plan that, work on that. I like missions trips. And so thank you, Stephen and Kim and family, for being with us today. Lord, we thank you for this day. We pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to put our lives in your hand and to stay humble, to stay soft and pliable, as Brother Steve said, not to become hard and calloused and brittle, and that we would break at the sound and at the slightest jarring of things in our life. I pray that you help us to stay soft and pliable to you. Lord, we just pray that you bless this day. Keep your hand upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning.